So we're heading into Christmas, and the department stores have lots of ideas for us what we should do at Christmas. What are some ideas? What are some things that various parents can do to point their kids in the right direction at Christmas? Let's talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This week, we're talking about teaching the gift of giving. And giving is a key word this Christmas season. But what are some ideas to sort of tie this giving theme together with Christ, the greatest gift of all?
Every home doesn't like competition. I know that. Our home thrives on competition. We have done competition because one of ours couldn't handle it and freaked out if that particular child lost. And so we stayed with competition, which is why much of the time I lost just so everybody could laugh. But one of the things that's fun at Christmas is pick a night, pick a special food, and if you're a Christmas tree person, decide to set the tree up. But then at the same time, every ornament that you set up, decide, how does this ornament point to Jesus? What about this ornament points to Jesus? And making it very competitive. And if you're going to pick an ornament, tell me how it points to Jesus. And trying to get trapped by the kids. You know, one of our ornaments, which somebody put on the tree, it does make the tree, and I lose with it every year. It is Kermit the Frog on skis with a ski hat.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And so somehow they always slide that over to me that I have to put it up, and how can Dad make this? And I make up these bizarre
things.
You
made it?
No. I have
to
make up this thing.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a Hallmark Kermit the Frog ski thing that came from some non-Christian friend or whatever, but it is hilarious. And they're all waiting for me to make up something that is so ridiculous. You know, Kermit skiing for Jesus in a ski ministry or something like that. And they're all laughing, boo, that doesn't count. You get no points. But watching them as they select the Christmas ornaments and what that means and how valuable that is, and some of them don't, and us thinking together, I think there's some fun things at Christmas that force them into thinking, first of all, who can tell what a tree represents? You know, how does a tree represent Christ at Christmas? How does an evergreen tree cut off from the roots represent Christ? How do the lights we string represent Christ? How does a bulb hanging there, very fragile, unless it stays on that branch, that special tree, how does it do it? What is that thing we put on the top? You know, and everybody wanted that because it's the star. It's the
right.
Christmas star that goes in the top. So there's almost wrestling to get that one. So you can tell the story and go up that funny little ladder we use by the fireplace. But developing a tradition of trying to point to the Christmas story through some of our stuff that we do that probably initially had meaning, but we've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when Christmas had so much meaning, especially in Germany, that you really got a pair of socks and an orange was huge, in your stocking, and that was it, and some special food, and that was kind of it. It wasn't really everybody having boxes and boxes of stuff. You were happy to get your orange, you were happy to eat, and you're happy to get your brand new socks. And everything else pointed towards Jesus, everything. Now everything else points towards me. And so helping our children, understanding their children, find various traditions to point it back to Jesus.
Can you over-spiritualize everything, though?
I think you can so spiritualize. I don't think you can ever over-spiritualize, but I think you can so spiritualize that you've lost your 10-year-old completely. Okay, this is pretty boring. And if you, of all people, you work in youth work, always have worked in youth work at your
mm-hmm.
church, and you know, we can over-spiritualize it and not engage them, or we can go for it. And yes, I would come down into the youth department every now and then to see what they were doing and thinking, praise God, I'm not in this department. But watching it change the lives of children,
right.
Watching it change the lives of, you know, years ago when you were growing up, there was a guy called Salty, who was a hymn book,
mm-hmm.
and there was a hymn book costume that Salty wore, and it just engaged children. And I remember thinking, Father, thank you, I don't have to wear anything like that. But it engaged children.
Yeah.
And so my job really is to engage my children. I think sometimes as parents, we expect them to engage at our level, and if they don't, too bad. You know, there was a time, for instance, at Thanksgiving, when all the children ate in the kitchen and all the adults ate in the dining room. And wow, I went to one Thanksgiving family like that, and I thought, I'd rather eat with the children. And what are we teaching the children? Nothing. They're just eating turkey. They're not hearing blessings. And I remember when it was finally my time to host, saying, we've blown out the living room. We've brought in extra tables. All 24 of us are here. Bring the children in. And yes, we will have to get the carpet cleaned afterwards. That's okay. Mm-hmm. It'll work, because I want to engage the children. And we downgraded the discussion quite a bit for the children. But wow, now it's become a wonderful thing. So I want to have fun with my children. I want there to be laughter. And the laughter is mostly at my expense. But there ought to be laughter. And it ought to be at my expense. I just got the greatest gift that's represented at Christmas. The greatest gift is Jesus. And I know where I'm going. I know the big house. I'm going to have the house in heaven. And I'm not a citizen of here. And I don't want to conform to here. So I've got to remember who my audience is. My audience is children or teenagers who are already sullen that we're having to do verses, and that's okay.
Right.
Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, no vote. We're serving the Lord. But I do believe Joshua would have worked at it a little bit. And I do look in all the Christmas traditions, the dreidel and the searching for the Passover yeast that's been removed. Mm-hmm. And it was fun for children because Jesus loved the little children. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, stop them. Bring them to me. So I'm really just a messenger. I've got to bring them to him. And part of this Christmas story has these fun things and these traditions you can do. The Advent calendar that you can order quickly at this point.
Right.
And use an Advent calendar really telling the Christmas story. It's really from start to end, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And opening a day on that Advent calendar, a little box each time that has a little representative of what it's all about. Our job is to use Christmas to tell the greatest story ever told, start to finish, rather than use Christmas to get ourselves in debt and teach our children it's all about materialism. And we can order people's books and we can listen to other people's ideas. I guarantee that Jesus loves your children so much. If you decided, you know what? I'm going to spend an hour today just asking Jesus, what can we do that's unique to us, Lord, that tells my children at their age all about you? What project can we make? What craft can we decide we're going to do every Christmas? What decoration can we put up that tells the Christmas story for your glory, Lord?
Now, you can do a lot of great things with little kids because they like the fun activities. Once you get to teenage years, maybe a suggestion is to use them in sort of a leadership position. You know what? You're in charge of somehow sharing the Christmas story in some way, shape, or form while we're eating breakfast on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Go for it. I'll give you a couple ideas. You run with it. I don't know. But then, of course, sometimes teenagers just say, I don't want to do anything.
What I did with a 13-year-old boy, Rosemary went and bought this corn stalk manger scene thing. It didn't have a manger. It was just these corn stalk Mary, Joseph, shepherds, couple of sheep with toothpicks sticking out of them. She bought, I don't know whether she bought it at Cracker Barrel or where she bought it, she just loved it. And I said to this young teenage boy, let's go in the garage and make mom a manger. And she said, how are we going to do that? And I said, we're going to go to, this shows you how long ago it was Lindsley Lumber at that time instead of Lowe's. And we're going to buy some of these shingles, these wooden shingles people put on their roofs. We're going to bring them home. We're going to split them into quarter inch widths. And we're just going to make a pole barn, a little pole barn that's totally shingled. And you can see through it, and it has railings and stuff like that. And we made a pole barn that was about 18 inches wide and about 9 inches deep and proportionally. And we did that as a project. While we're doing that, the opportunity for me to say, you know, Rob, here's the amazing thing. Can you imagine that the King of the Universe chose this for the hospital he was going to be born in? Could have been born in any palace in the world, and got an opportunity while we're making this as a Christmas craft to give to him, which we still use today.
Oh,
very,
really?
Very cool, yeah. And, you know, you would look at it and say, well, I guess that's nice. To us, it's nice. And to us, with a glue gun, a dad and a boy made this thing and put it together and gave it to Rosemary, and it's precious to her. She wraps it in bubble wrap, which is hilarious, and puts her little funny, whatever those things are made out of, corn stalk things, in there. But I got to tell a story, and we get to talk about, is it just astounding to you that God could have chosen to be birthed anywhere? And we know Bethlehem is a big, big name today. It was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing. In fact, Roby, I brought a verse out here to show you. Can anything good come from Bethlehem? That's how obscure and low it's, because he loves, Roby, he loves people even like you and me. We're nobodies, and he loves us. He came for us.
I spoke with a group of young kids one day, and one of the kids says, what's the big deal with God coming to earth? you know, he didn't understand why it was such a big deal. I said, well, he's such a big God, and he becomes a human. And he's staring at me like he still didn't get it. So I threw out this little story. I don't remember. I guess someone told me when I was younger. I said, it's kind of like you having an ant farm. Mm. You have this ant farm. You see the ants, and you love them. You give them food. They're healthy, and you take care of them. Well, they start fighting. In fact, they're hurting each other. The only way that they could know how to stop fighting or hurting each other is by you becoming an ant and going in there and telling them to stop, and that this is the right way to be an ant in an ant farm, and that they can have an amazing life in an ant farm, but you have to become one of them. And so it clicked to him. It was the cutest thing for him. The 8-year-old eyes just blew. He goes, I get it now. God became an ant. So
yeah,
it wasn't
cool
quite like that. But for the like you were talking about age-appropriate lessons, find a lesson that's age-appropriate.
And my teen is not going to be happy that life's not all about, what are we making for us out here, Dad?
You're right.
Can we make a paddleball paddle?
Right.
And making it for other people and having an older friend see it at our house 1 year and really, really love it, asking Rosemary, where'd you get that stable? And, you know, Roby kind of there and saying, well, you know, Dad and I made it. And, wow, you guys should be whatever, making these and selling these. And Roby's saying to me later on, you think we should do that? And I said, no, but I think we should make her one and give it to her. Just give it. Yeah, I think we should make her one and give it to her. And the pride of carrying that up to her house. Mm. And, of course, she knew we were going to do it. Rosemary called her and said, go get those cornstalk people. The stable's arriving. So I think there's an opportunity to understand that children are still self-centered. And I don't think become less self-centered till you have your own children. It's the great training process. And you had instantly four.
Yeah.
But realizing what you're giving up and what you're willing to give up for the sake of this other child, and just getting an inkling of the love of God here and getting an inkling of him becoming an ant, going from from God, creator of everything, to his created, which even is more than a human becoming an ant. It's from everything to put on skin and being that vulnerable. I think part of Christmas is trying to teach that lesson and find those teachable moments and finding projects where you're doing for others and teaching and doing for others and teaching. And the amazing thing, Roby, of God coming for us at Christmas like that.
These projects that you talk about, though, I mean, just in defense of all the busyness going on and busy moms, sometimes a lot of those things are very time-consuming.
They are. And
I don't know if sometimes if parents have all that time to do that with their kids. Do you have any
It's
ideas?
A priority issue, isn't it? It's a decision. We're going to turn off the TV and make ornaments. And we're going to try to make ornaments that tell a story. And then we're going to try to make ornaments that they take with them when they leave home, because each child each year made two.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that will blow Tuesday night from 7 to 9. And you have to go get them. And you have to go to get one of these craft stores and, okay, help, let me make an ornament. And the next year we were sewing these hand-sewn crosses and putting them on the tree. Two. Why do I have to make two? I just need you to make two. And we never told them.
Oh, you never,
never told them. Never told them. They would just almost like not real. Where's the other one the next Christmas? There's the crosses. There another one, because there's so many we've done and made or were given. And then all of a sudden, their first Christmas, here's your box of ornaments. I think if I'm remembering right, later on they got it.
Right.
But it does take planning more than time. And on your way home from work, stop by the craft shop and get the kits to make the sew the cross and take them home. And you know, it's something kind of cool about learning how to sew for when something rips in college that you really, really like. Of course, today when it's ripped, it's better or more valuable or whatever that is. But figuring all that out and then just deciding that tonight, since all sports stop in December, hopefully, tonight, this is what we're doing. Tuesday night, we're making hot apple cider, which is way cool. We're making popcorn, which is way cool. And yes, you're going to get butter on that thing that we're sewing. But we're going to make an ornament for the tree, each of us, and have fun making them. And then, you know, one Saturday morning, we all made the cookies. Who are you? And what will you be glad you did later on? And let me tell you, the long-term lesson of you're making an ornament now that you will get later on is absolutely astounding. It does equate to saving for later. Decide what you want at 18 years old, Christmas. Now start doing it now. Point them to Jesus.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes. Tomorrow is Talk Back Friday. Dr. Barnes, can we ask you about Santa tomorrow?
I think we should.
Good. All right, so we hope you'll join us tomorrow, Talk Back Friday. focusing on what to do with Santa right here on Parenting Today. If you want more information about Sheridan House Family Ministries, Dr. Barnes, and the resources available there, you can find them online at shfm.org. If you want to send your questions, comments about the program and for the program, if we use your question or comment, we'll also send you a resource in the mail. But you can submit those through our website at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org. And we encourage you also to sign up for the daily parenting blog that corresponds with this broadcast. Again, that's online at parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for Talk Back Friday right here on Parenting Today.